This is an ABC podcast.
For copyright reasons, the music has been edited. To hear the full tracks, listen to The J-Files, Thursday nights on Double J, or head to doublej.net.au and click on the track list at the bottom of each episode.
Hey, it's Kaz Tran here. Welcome to The J-Files, the podcast for people who love music. Each episode is like a quick music history lesson. We pick a different artist or band. We look at some of the most important moments in their career, and we celebrate their impact on music. In this final episode for 2021, though, it's a team effort as the Double J team look back on the year in music. The albums that won hearts and minds. The artists who made their mark. The comebacks that got us hyped. Heroes we farewelled. There's too many of you to cry. 2021 was a massive year for anniversaries, with some of the most groundbreaking albums ever released marking up major milestones. The colossal works of Joni Mitchell's Blue and Marvin Gaye's What's Going On celebrated their 50th anniversaries, as did Carole King's Tapestry, John Lennon's Imagine, Led Zeppelin 4, Black Sabbath's Master of Reality, and Sly and the Family Stone's There's a Riot Going On. Come as you are, as you were, as I want you to be. We remembered the explosion of creativity that marked an unforgettable decade of music in 1991 with albums like Nirvana's Nevermind, Pearl Jam's 10, Red Hot Chili Peppers' Blood Sugar Sex Magik, Soundgarden's Bad Motorfinger, Hole's Pretty on the Inside, Blue Lines by Massive Attack, REM's Out of Time, Loveless by My Bloody Valentine, and Primal Scream's Screamadelica, just some of the incredible records turning 30 this year. DJ Shadow's game-changing Introducing also clocked up a quarter of a century, whilst the start of the new millennium was marked by breakout records by Alicia Keys, The Strokes, The White Stripes, Gillian Welch, and we got the self-titled debut by Virtual Heroes, Gorillaz. And this year was also the 20th anniversary of Splendour in the Grass, which kicked off as a one-day event in 2001. In July this year, organisers gave us an insight into the possibilities of the future of music festivals through Splendour XR, a virtual event headlined by acts like The Killers, Grimes, Charlie XCX, Tash Sultana and The Avalanches. All being well, we look forward to the return of the physical event in July 2022.
Hey, Caitlin Nienaber here, and these are the artists who rocked it. A tough 2020 dragged on into 2021, yet there were many artists who rose above it all to make a huge splash. Baker Boy kicked off the year collecting an Order of Australia honour in recognition of his stellar contributions to the performing arts. He then used the extended time in lockdown to focus on crafting his much-anticipated debut album, Geller. We just survive, we just survive. I don't know how we continue to thrive. We keep on going like we cannot die. We keep on going, we're living a lie. Inspired by Danzel's Skim name, Geller finds the Fresh Prince of Arnhem Land exploring themes of identity, culture and self-empowerment. And the album brims with an infectious positivity and irresistible funk grooves. Baker Boy rounded out the year performing at the AFL Grand Final. He also scored nominations at the National Indigenous Music Awards, as well as a J Award nom for Triple J Australian Album of the Year. I wish that heaven... visiting hours, and I would ask them if I could take you home. But I Ed Sheeran moved heaven and earth to pay tribute to his friend and mentor Michael Gudinski. Flying to Australia in the midst of tight COVID border restrictions, undertaking quarantine, and then delivering an emotional performance at the Music Icon's State Memorial. I know my home. Coming straight out of northeast Arnhem Land, King Stingray gave us more deadly Yolngu surf rock this year. Comprised of musicians descended from members of the great Yothu Yindi, these five Yolngu and Ballinder friends captured the frustration of a nation in their lockdown anthem, Get Me Out, which became the most played song on Triple J. I do the same thing I told you that I never would. I told you I'd change, even when I knew I never could. Know that I can't find nobody else as good as you. I need you to stay, need you to stay. Just when you thought the Kid Laroi couldn't get any bigger, he smashed 2021 out of the park. His song with Justin Bieber, Stay, clocked 10 weeks at number one on the US charts. And he scooped awards at the Arias, took out Artist of the Year at the NEMAs, and he's up for a Grammy in 2022. Superstar Adele successfully lobbied Spotify to stop shuffling. She convinced the streaming giant that artists tell a story through their albums, which should be listened from go to woe as intended. They agreed to change the default for all albums from shuffle to play, just in time for the release of Adele's latest blockbuster, 30. And in a year filled with continued uncertainty, frustration, and boredom, brilliant albums from the Avalanches, the irrepressible Amel and the Sniffers, and two sensational records from London-based producer Fred Again lifted our spirits with hope, high-octane energy, and ambition.
Hey, Zan Rowe here. Late last year, the Avalanches delivered their beautiful third album, We Will Always Love You, a record that cements their very special standing in Australian music. It's a richly rewarding piece of immersive listening, and the album saw the group crowned as Double J's Australian Artist of the Year for 2021. Genesis Owusu released his hotly anticipated debut in March. It went on to collect a heap of acclaims and awards for Smiling With No Teeth. His ability to bounce between genres while delivering urgent, intelligent, and courageous observations has been nothing short of electrifying. I got a red room, it is a red eye when the sun sets in my bedroom. It feels like I'm inside a flower. In June, we were thrilled to have a new album from Melbourne's Hiatus Coyote. The neo-soul quartet had taken some time away to allow singer and guitarist Napalm to undergo treatment for breast cancer. Mood Valiant has been inspired by deep reflection and loss, yet it's infused with a vibrant spirit that's soulful, innovative, and utter celebratory. Please don't ask again, who's up in the van? They my only fans. After dealing with a marriage separation, ongoing mental health issues, and conflict with past collaborators, Kanye West took to stadiums in Atlanta and Chicago in July to stage a series of listening events ahead of the release of Donda, the album named for his late mother. The build-up to its release, over 18 tumultuous months, only heightened anticipation, and Donda became Ye's 10th album to hit number one on the US charts. Yo, I'm in rare form. Niggas speak down on my name like I wasn't there for him. Less than a year after Nas released his Grammy-winning King's Disease, he followed it up with a star-studded sequel, King's Disease 2. The album sees Nas continue his winning partnership with producer Hit-Boy, who once again provides the perfect match for Nas's razor-sharp rhymes. Get back home. We got to relive the last days of the Beatles with the reissue of Let It Be, the Fab Four's final album. This reissue includes four discs of live material, demos, and lost mixes, an accompaniment to Peter Jackson's epic reworking of the original Let It Be documentary. Of your dream, make you real. Of your eyes, when you must steal. This year marked the 30th anniversary of Metallica's Behemoth, the Black Album. The band celebrated by unloading a sprawling four-disc tribute called the Metallica Blacklist, featuring 53 wide-ranging artists covering their favourite song from Metallica's 1991 album.
Sick and tired of the pain every day, people are hurt like you and me, good or to me, we need to come together, together as one, the way war could be won in a world with no guns.
In October, Baker Boy showed us the incredible cultural phenomenon that he's become with the release of Gela, which arrived 4 years on from when he dazzled us with those first songs on Triple J Unearthed.
To be loved and love at the highest count.
Me. And in November, soul mega diva Adele dropped her fourth album, which quickly became the year's fastest selling record. On 30, she reflects openly and gracefully on the pain of her divorce and her struggles with mental health in an ambitious work that had us reaching en masse for our tissue boxes.
Lover, don't leave me waiting here all night.
Hey, Tim Sheil here. 2021 rolled out the red carpet for some long-anticipated and very warmly received comebacks. Vika and Linda released their first album of original material in 19 years. Aptly titled The Wait, it featured songwriting contributions from Don Walker, Glenn Richards, Casey Chambers, Ben Salter, Bernard Fanning, and it's an absolutely stunning addition to the sisters' acclaimed catalogue. After 4 years apart, focused on their respective solo projects, Angus and Julia Stone reunited for a surprise fifth album called Life is Strange, a soundtrack to the video game series. We got the big news that punk legends The Hard-Ons are back on track with a new lead singer, none other than longtime friend and hardcore fan of the band, Tim Rogers. The band's 13th album together, I'm Sorry Sir, That Riff's Been Taken, was their first to enter the album charts at number 4. Meanwhile, Tim's other job, fronting UMI, saw the band releasing their 11th album, the widely acclaimed The Lives of Others, which follows on 6 years after 2015's Porridge and Hot Sauce.
I meant to be sober, but the bar's so inviting.
Liz Phair delivered her first album in 11 years with the brilliant songs of Soberish. It saw her reunited with producer Brad Wood, who'd worked on her debut, Exile in Guyville.
Come to the island where we can save our souls.
Crowded House are a band revitalized with a membership shake-up and their most experimental album in years with the release of Dreamers Are Waiting. The new album arrives 11 years on from 2010's Intriga and sees Neil Finn joined by Nick Seymour, Mitchell Froom, as well as his sons, Liam and Elroy.
When you're waiting for the thrill to return, and the world it leaves you so damn tired.
Staying across the ditch, She Heart were also galvanised by recent events to write their most ferocious and political album to date with this year's Old Gods, their first album in 7 years. And they said it would never happen. We also witnessed the welcome return of the Fugees, the influential trio of Ms. Lauryn Hill, Wyclef Jean, and Praz Michelle got back together to celebrate 25 years since their 1996 classic album, The Score.
This year, we sadly lost many influential people in music. In January, experimental pop musician and producer Sophie passed away following a sudden accident in Athens. The Glaswegian artist and trans icon was also an in-demand collaborator, working with the likes of Madonna, Charlie XCX, Diplo and Camila Cabello. Phil Spector, the producer who gave us The Wall of Sound, helming hits for the Ronettes, the Crystals and the Righteous Brothers, died early this year. Spector's run continued through the 70s, when he worked with the Beatles, Leonard Cohen and the Ramones. He died in prison, where he was serving time for the murder of Lana Clarkson. New York Dolls guitarist and songwriter Sylvain Sylvain lost his battle with cancer this year too. His riffs ramped up the sleaze and hard-driving sheen that influenced a generation of rock and punk degenerates. In February, Chick Corea, the jazz piano virtuoso who helped redefine the sound of jazz on Miles Davis's Bitches Brew, passed away at the age of 79. Founding member of the Supremes, Mary Wilson, passed away unexpectedly at her home in Las Vegas in February. She was remembered by Berry Gordy as a major member of the Motown family, a trailblazer and a diva. In early March, the music industry was rocked by the death of icon Michael Gudinski. He was a major figure shaping the Australian music landscape through his championing of artists like Skyhooks, Jimmy Barnes, Kylie Minogue and Hunters and Collectors. He also brought some of the biggest international stars to our shores as a pioneering tour promoter. The last surviving member of the Wailers, Bunny Wailer, passed away in hospital in March too. Hailed as an elder statesman of Jamaican music, Wailer, together with Bob Marley and Peter Tosh, is credited with popularising reggae music around the world. Over the Easter weekend, we lost Australian drummer Tony Pola. Having played with Kim Salmon and the Surrealists in the 80s, then joining Beast Suburban in the 90s, Pola was eulogised by Tex Perkins, who remembered his friend as a lovable rogue and the best rock and roll drummer I ever played with. Jesus almost got me. I don't know how many prayers you've heard. Emotional tributes flowed for songwriter Anita Lane in April from Nick Cave and Mick Harvey, among others. Nick Cave referred to her as the smartest and most talented of all of us by far. She co-wrote some of the Birthday Party and the Bad Seeds' most memorable songs and released her own solo works. Rapper and actor DMX passed away following a heart attack in April. Although his career was beset by drug and legal issues, he rose above the abuse, poverty and struggles of his childhood to deliver gritty observations and hard-hitting rap music that would influence the likes of Kendrick Lamar, Killer Mike and Jim Jones. Artificial amateurs aren't it all amazing. Analytically, I assault, animate things. Broken barriers bounded by the bomb beat. Buildings are broken, basically I'm bombarding. In June, the hip-hop world lost another major talent in Blackalicious MC, Timothy Gift of Gab Parker. Known for his razor-sharp wordplay and effortless flow, Parker pushed the boundaries of his craft across an acclaimed career. We lost the thunderous rhythms and explosive blast beats of Slipknot drummer Joey Jordison in July. A founding member and co-writer of many of their biggest hits, Jordison's prowess on the kit was instrumental to the Iowa group's standing as new metal heavyweights. Oh, Also in July, the clown prince of hip-hop, Biz Markie, passed away. Over the course of his career, Biz plied his trade and made his name for his humour-filled lyrics and his signature beatboxing style. His presence on children's shows like SpongeBob SquarePants and Yo Gabba Gabba, and cameos in series like Black-ish and Empire, made him a constant in pop culture. Charlie Watts, one of the all-time drumming greats, as well as being rock and roll's most enduring gentleman, passed away in August. His subtle, jazz-inflected swing held down countless hit songs over six decades and helped seal the Rolling Stones' legacy. Artists from Beastie Boys to Billy Bragg paid tribute to Lee Scratch Perry when the Jamaican singer and producer died at the age of 85 this year. His stellar dub reggae releases, work with Bob Marley and Peter Tosh, and his innovations in production and sampling were vital components of Jamaican music's explosion around the world. The honeyed voice of Don Everly, together with his younger brother Phil, influenced the Beatles, the Beach Boys, and Simon and Garfunkel. The duo had 15 top 10 hits in the US between 1957 and 1962, including All I Have to Do Is Dream and Bye Bye Love. Don Everly passed away in August this year. September brought us the sad news of the death of Girls Aloud singer Sarah Harding. She lost her brave battle with breast cancer, and emotional tributes were led by her devastated bandmates. Is there life on Mars? In November, the man hailed as the man who shot the 70s, Mick Rock, passed away. He captured iconic images of David Bowie, Blondie, Sex Pistols and T-Rex, shot album covers for Queen, Lou Reed and the Stooges, and worked with modern-day heroes like Snoop Dogg and the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. So just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty, pronounced with the umpty. We also farewelled Digital Underground rapper and producer Shock G, Meatloaf songwriter and producer Jim Steinman, Australian Crawl songwriter Sean Higgins, 808 States' Andy Barker, Dusty Hill of ZZ Top, and Hank Von Hell of Turbo Negro. And we remember the 10 people who perished in the Astroworld tragedy in Houston, Texas. I've been better, I'm in better,
now I'm in better, man, I have it better. In the face of another devastating year for the Australian music industry, artists, music fans and industry organisations banded together to support each other and signal important changes across the broader music landscape. Artists like Jimmy Barnes, Paul Kelly, Tim Minchin, Hilltop Hoods and Amy Shark all rallied around Vax the Nation, a campaign also involving major record labels, ticketing agencies, tour promoters and festival organisers to help boost vaccination levels with TV ads and social media in an effort to get the music scene back on its feet. Support Act continued its incredible work providing crisis relief grants, well-being and mental health programs for music workers who were struggling through another difficult year. It culminated in Oz Music T-shirt Day, which this year raised close to $540,000 for music workers doing it tough. Strike the punch and get everyone sent home. So in the end, it's you and me dancing all alone. Alex Leahy penned an open letter calling on the PM to implement an insurance scheme and wage subsidies to support music industry workers or risk losing a generation's worth of live performance talent and crew. And Jack River sparked a viral campaign through Our Soundtrack, Our Stories, pushing for more Australian music to be championed on TV and by local media and businesses, to celebrate and support our local talent during the ongoing pandemic. The music industry made an impressive shift towards inclusivity this year when the ARIAs replaced its Best Female and Best Male Artist categories with a non-gendered Best Artist category. Taylor Swift continues to show what a boss she is, taking bold measures to stand up to music industry bullies and own the full rights to her music. For years, she's been trying to acquire the masters to her early albums, to no avail. Taking matters into her own hands, Swift began re-recording her back catalogue, and this year delivered the first two of those re-recordings, Taylor's versions of Fearless and Red. Tom Gray from Gomez this year persisted in lobbying the UK government for regulation of music streaming in an effort to put more money in the pockets of artists. And both Grimes through her social media and Daniel Johns through this year's Who is Daniel Johns podcast have kept up the momentum of artists openly talking about mental health issues. Through pondering what it is to be a musician and weighing up the price of fame, they've turned the focus onto us as music fans and consumers of their art.
Big thanks to Tim Scheel, Caitlin Nienaber and Zan Rowe for looking back on 2021, the year that was. Looking ahead, we reckon there's heaps of fresh talent set to make an impact in 2022. So keep your ears open for these hot picks.
You say I'm oppressed, but you were pressed in Vermont. 60,000 years of bloodline, you ain't even got spines.
Barker is a proud Mullingubba Barkindji woman who's turned desperate situations in her life into compelling stories of survival and empowerment with fierce lyricism and flow. She is the absolute real deal.
Let's talk about.
Budra's star is only going to keep rising next year as he no doubt will continue to effortlessly charm us with his sincere, soulful voice. The Kutjumbura singer absolutely deserving of the Breakthrough Artist Award he scored at this year's ARIAs.
What constitutes a ghetto? Huh? Is it growing your own lettuces in the potholes on the road?
Yard Act is a four-piece from Leeds who used lockdown this year to hone their sound and songwriting, and the reaction online to their chugging rhythms, spiky guitars and wry observations has been impressive. Expect their debut early next year.
I know I should go sober. Maybe I'll try for next October.
Babatha is the stage name of Sydney's Imogen Grist, whose modern folk and insightful songwriting cut through with a refreshing authenticity.
They tell me that you wanna know how deep you really wanna go.
Alawiya is a 26-year-old West Londoner whose bold and rich voice sweetly pierces through the awesome percussive house, reggaeton, or drum and bass bangers she's crafted that deliver some deep club vibes. We don't know too much about who's behind the mysterious project called Tsiba, but we do know it's going to make you want to get your arms in the air and dance. And we can't wait for more music from this act.
Mommy, daddy, look.
Been a lot of talk around a duo from the Isle of Wight called Wet Leg, who on the strength of just two songs have landed themselves a sold-out US tour this year. But oh, what songs! With deadpan lyrics about buttered muffins, underwear and chaise longues, it's absurdist, driving post-punk, and their debut is due in 2022.
There is no world we live in. I've just discovered heaven.
Melbourne-based musician Grace Cummings caught a lot of people's attention with the haunting emotion and striking intimacy of her debut Refuge Cove in 2019. We're expecting big things with her second album, Storm Queen, due out early next year. Zachariah Fielding and Michael Ross as Electric Fields have been steadily building their profile since they first performed in 2015. They've released an EP, a stack of stellar singles, and delivered some show-stopping performances. And we're anticipating big things next year from this duo.
I'm not ever gonna shut down, shut down, shut down, shut down, shut down to sleep.
Out of Sydney, Jana Beth delivers her own unique spin on hip-hop, soul and pop that's left ears buzzing and hips swiveling. Her songs drip with confidence, conviction and the sound of an artist set to soar. Telenova are a Melbourne trio who found each other through a songwriting camp and struck upon a creative chemistry that was instant. Comprising members of Miami Horror, Slum Sociable, and singer Angeline Armstrong, the group deliver pop with serious polish and poise. Another supergroup project we've been enamoured with is Blossom, the team up of Pinyao's Nick Littlemore and Alistair Wright from Cloud Control. The duo create musical pathways to wonder and euphoria, and we're hanging out for more new sounds from them soon.
Race relations got my mind racing. Played the popper, but fucking now I'm impatient. They positive, I'm negative, that's what they say, but they don't know what we live through on a day-to-day.
First Nations artist Ziggy Ramo is set to follow up on his explosive debut, Black Thoughts, with a new album and accompanying book called Human, which is sure to further consolidate his voice as a powerful catalyst of reckoning and change. London-based producer Tisha is one of the most exciting young artists, sweeping us up in the throes of her emotional bangers that feel as spacious as they are warmly intimate.
Strolling down these halls of rolling ice and waterfalls, I can't help but smile.
LA-based trio Gabriels had us swooning with their sublime fusion of gospel, R&B, soul, jazz and electro-pop, fronted by the gorgeous voice of singer Jacob Lusk. And you've probably been hearing a lot about King Stingray this year. They're descended from music royalty, but with their own brand of Yol Nu surf rock, they're well on the way to carving out their own place in Australian music. The J-Files is a Double J podcast. Make sure you like, follow and share. Our producer is Sam Wicks, with production support from Gab Burke and Phoebe Bennett. Theme music is by Art vs. Science. You can check out Double J anytime on the Triple J app or at doublej.net.au. I'm Kaz Tran. Thanks for listening.